If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Paul and I are back on Takedown to talk about the latest, which is cuts, cuts, and more cuts since the last time we talked. We'll talk a little bit more about if we believe AEW would be interested in some of the folks. We'll talk about kind of the TKO strategy from what it sounds like. Other WWE wrestlers were asked to take pay cuts, and it sounds like one or more actually did. We'll preview Backlash and all of that good stuff. So before we get going, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right. Catching up and trying to keep on top of the news while trying to watch everything in order. It's weird because I'm watching people wrestle that I know don't work for the company anymore and stuff like that. So it's kind of weird. And then even, I'm more or less caught up on AEW. I just haven't watched this past weekend's Collision. But
interestingly enough, I am back to being caught on the stuff that I watch. Obviously, right. I don't watch nearly as much as you. But I'm caught up because I was going to do a show with John The Rock on Sunday night. We were doing a makeup show because our schedules have been a little off. And he was like, we had to take the kids to do a recital and it was too late. The kids are going crazy. And so we just decided to cancel at the last minute. You know what it was like to have young children.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I've had some thoughts on, we were going to have a conversation about kind of what we're talking about tonight on that show. So I'll save those thoughts for this show. And you and I are actually going to be working the rare Sunday morning Wrestling Observer radio show this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I cleared it with my wife. And she's going to do something with her mother, but it's going to be later in the day. So yeah, I'll be free and clear.
Good. Cool.
Yep.
We're going to talk UFC on that show. And I'm sure, here's the thing. Will you also have watched Backlash by the time we talk?
I can't imagine I will have, but I'll probably have heard about it.
Yeah. So we'll be back this weekend as well. So let's kick this thing off. So I guess the story is really New Day.
Yeah.
And we had heard that, I guess from what has been presented. Now, I know Kofi has posted, Austin Creed has posted. The story was that they were asked to take a pay cut. They decided to not take that pay cut. And then here's where it kind of gets murky. Either WWE was like, okay, then we're cutting you, or they said we would rather be cut, or they both were kind of like at the same time thinking the same thing. Whatever it may be, the New Day is no longer on the WWE roster. And that's kind of, from a longevity standpoint, you're talking about a team that was put together. That was a act that really, really worked at certain times in their iteration. There were other times where it didn't work and then they had to kind of reinvent them, and Big E also being part of that act was part of the success. But what do you think about those guys being on the chopping block?
Well, I mean, I was shocked just, for the simple fact that they just kind of felt like lifers, although I'm not sure that that term, how much it even applies anymore. Like I know that I'm sure there are some people for whom it does. And I guess, I would have thought that New Day would be part of that. I mean, there's some people that, I can't see ever leaving. But again, like, I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't shocked. Like that said, like in hindsight now, when you look back and you hear about this and you look at some of the other people and you look at what they were doing with the New Day for the last you know, really, I mean, the last year, but honestly, you could even go back to when Big E got hurt. Like, you mm-hmm. know, they tried the heel turn, and it, you know, they didn't really, it was a, it, it worked really well in the moment, but they didn't really follow up very well with it. I think Xavier got hurt, so that may have affected things. They stuck them with Grayson Waller, which I guess they were trying to get him over, but it wasn't a good fit at all. And I don't know how anybody ever thought that would be a good fit. And you know, and here we are. And I assume he, you know, they said the New Day was cut. I assume he's still there, but I haven't seen his name on any lists. I'm kind of surprised at that, to be honest with you. And I'm a big, you know, I was a big Grayson Waller guy, but I'm, you know, just kind of, when they give up on somebody, I kind of give up. And that's kind of where we are with that.
So the Heat Is On said, I believe they were given from Friday till Monday to decide what they wanted to do. Rumor from Sapp was that they're making above $5 million a year.
Wow.
I don't think that number is right, by the way. Not saying that Sapp.
I mean, maybe combined.
Combined, I could see that.
And if that, you know what? And if
still
that
seems high. It well, still seems high.
It does. And if that, but if they, if that is the case, and I mean, Kofi is a former world champion. So, and usually when you re-sign, you don't take a pay cut. So, I mean, if they were, let's say they were making $5 million combined, and you know, I don't know, I'm not going to question SAP sources. I mean, that is a lot of money for guys at that level, and I could easily see WWE looking and saying, "Well, we don't want to cut them because we like them, and we'd kind of like them to stick around forever, but we also don't want to pay them $2.5 million a year each. So maybe we'll ask them to take a pay cut and see what they say." And
I've seen some educated guesses on what their payroll is, and they don't have too many folks in that five and above range, just from a salary perspective.
Right? Yeah, I'm so, not. I'm not saying
I would be super duper surprised if that any.
I can't imagine they're making five combined, but total. I mean, they gave Kevin Owens more than that, and Kevin Owens is a bigger star than either of them. But at one time, Kofi was a bigger star than Kevin Owens. I don't know that Xavier ever was. Big you know, E definitely was.
I think what it comes down to for me is that if you are in the middle class, you are probably on the chopping block. And I'll get to kind of the TK, what I think the TKO strategy is in a second. But like you said, I wasn't surprised either because it seemed like that type of talent just you know, recently renewed, not on television in any big way, and looking at how WWE books the men's tag team division, they don't seem to find any value in in that division. So I wasn't surprised, but at the same time, I could say the thing that I'm surprised about is remember the old adage of how AEW was created, where Vince was like, you know, we left the door open and that's why they exist. This is not one of those talents where I'm like, oh man, New Day's going to go to AEW and they're just going to wreck shop and they're going to create, you know, ratings are going to go up left to right. However, they are a team with a tremendous amount of popularity and notoriety. Like they have just been on their television forever. And similar to, now Christian was over there before Adam Copeland was, but had Adam Copeland and Christian kind of come over together while still having been with the company for a long period of time, they probably would have meant, at least Adam Copeland meant a lot. I'm not saying he didn't. Christian, I think they wanted to mean a lot, but maybe he didn't mean as much as they wanted. But the New Day together, they can get one of those reactions on a pay-per-view where you create that moment where people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, even though we all know it's going to happen. It's going to be one of those things where Andrew Zarian tweets out the day of the pay-per-view, like a sunrise or something.
Yeah,
the start of a new day. And we're all going to know, and yet it's still going to be a really fantastic moment. And I think some of that is just because those guys are so damn likable.
Yeah.
Right? They're easy to root for. You know where they came from. You know their story. They had that podcast for a little while, which they should actually rekindle a little bit. And so I think if booked correctly, and if Tony Khan sees them in at the same level as like a Young Bucks or something, I think they could actually be a pretty entertaining act. Now, if he doesn't, then I don't even know if he should sign them. Like, because I think you can only bring them in and bring them in as a main event tag team for it to work. If you don't see them at that level and you're like, eh, they're kind of like in the middle, then I wouldn't even bring them in.
Okay, so I don't disagree with anything that you just said. The only thing I would say is two things. Number one, while I agree that it would be a great moment, I wonder what it would be after that great moment is done. They are not young. I don't think, even in their prime, they weren't at the level of the top tag teams in AEW right now in terms of in-ring. Not to say that they, I mean, in terms of popularity, they definitely are. Like, you know, and worldwide, they're probably more popular than any team in AEW, with the possible exception of the Young Bucks. And Christian and Cage, maybe. Or Christian and Cope. The other thing is, if you bring a team like that in, older guys, you know, I think they're both in their 40s, mm-hmm. and you push them at to the top of the card or to the top of the tag team division, what does that tell the other teams that you already have under contract?
Like who?
Like anybody. Like, you know, like, and I'll just use, and I know you don't like this team, but, you know, the Swirl, for instance. Now, I'm not going to say, like, the Swirl, probably their upside is nowhere near what the New Day would ever be. But I'm sure that the Swirl is one example, and I could probably come up with 10 other.
Maybe a better example might be someone like GOA.
Sure. GOA, you know, like the Grizzled Young Vets.
They might be a worse example than the Swirl.
The Rascals.
The Rascals.
The Guns. The Guns is probably a perfect one, because.
Okay, but we kind of know what Tony Khan thinks of the Guns, right?
Well, they're the former tag team champions, and they're young guys that he's developed. And this is kind of my bigger point. What is the key to success in AEW? Is it to work your way up the card and get over and have good matches on the lower card and hope that you get brought up? Or is it to become a star in the other company and wait for your contract to run out? Because it seems like it's the
latter. I think it's both, actually.
Is it?
I think if you can get over, and I would say it's arguable that the Guns can get over on AEW television, because,
well, I think they have the past.
They are a WWE style tag team.
True. True.
They are all about, you know, shortcuts to get heat, and then, you know, interference or whatever.
What about a team like a Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy Strong, for instance? You know, like they're part of the world.
I mean, those guys are workhorses, right?
Right.
They're little guy workhorses, which is a good act for AEW from a work rate standpoint. But they're also never going to be near the top of the card. Kyle O'Reilly had a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. Against John Moxley, beat John Moxley, then unfortunately for him, got hurt. And then,
if
Tony thought he was a main eventer, he would have brought him back at that level. And he was like, nope, it's going to go right back into the trios.
So are the New Day a team that you would build your division around, or are they just a team that you would bring in for a feud with the Young Bucks that you know that a lot of your hardcore fans really want to see?
And
my question is, like, I know that there's a lot of AEW fans that want to see the New Day come in to face some of the teams that are in AEW, but I don't think you're creating any new fans with that. Are you bringing over fans from WWE that want to see the New Day against those other teams? And I don't think you are. I don't think WWE fans are going to jump over to AEW because the New Day is going to face some new teams. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not surprised. I would be surprised.
You and I were in Dallas for WrestleMania 32. The New Day came out for their match with a giant cereal box, and they spilled out of the box like cereal.
I think I was there.
That's how long. That's what I said. You and I were there. Oh, okay. At that show. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's how long these guys have been around, right?
Well, and they were already around for a while before that. Because I remember when I went to that show, one of the big things that me and my son were excited about, and it's probably like, you know, this year, you know, maybe getting to do the Oba Strut, was doing the "It's a New Day, Yes It Is," and chanting along with Big E, you know, when he would do the intro.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
what I was looking forward to.
And do you remember who danced with those guys after that match was over?
Was it Sasha?
It was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh,
Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I just saw that. It was on WWE's Greatest Moments on A&E. Yeah, I don't know why I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah. Well, and then they got stunnered by Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is like the thrill of their lives.
To answer your question, do you book the tag team division around them? I don't think you do. I don't think you do that. Okay. But what I do think you do is you create the interest around the idea of, I mean, the AEW is built on the idea of dream matches, right?
Okay.
Now, do AEW fans buy the idea that the Young Bucks and the New Day is a dream match? I'm not quite sure.
I think so. I actually do think so.
Do New Day fans buy the idea that them versus the Young Bucks is a dream match?
That's the one I'm not sure of. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you have to see because, again, AEW, the idea of, oh, we can see these matches that we never thought we'd see, but also, aren't you kind of interested to see if the New Day can really hang with some of these other teams?
Am I
interested? They've been wrestling. Well, they've been wrestling a WWE style for so long that I wonder if push comes to shove, these guys are a little bit like, okay, like we have to raise our game here if we're going to compete with these guys, with these other teams. They've wrestled FTR in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much they've wrestled Copeland and Christian separately.
I don't think they have at all.
And maybe not at all. But I think if you read Kofi's Instagram post, I'm kind of the idea that he goes, okay, you know, we may have been sitting pretty. Maybe we lost the eye of the tiger, and this is an opportunity for us to prove it. And maybe they, you know, the other thing about this is they may be completely fine money wise. So the whole contract thing may not be that big of a driver for them. But let's end our career on a high note.
I certainly got the impression from Kofi's Instagram post it was more about the lack of, it was about the disrespect as opposed to the actual money. You know, and especially given that they just signed a year ago. Personally, I'm not interested. Like, I haven't been interested in the New Day in a really long time. Like, I'm not saying, like, they're entertaining. I enjoy watching them. I enjoy seeing them on my television. In terms of, like, an actual match involving them, the last time I was excited about that was when I thought that perhaps a heel New Day was going to be facing a babyface team that Big E might be managing, you know, like something like that. That's kind of where I thought that angle was going. That's the last time I was interested. Before that, we're probably going back to before Big E's injury, before I was really invested in the New Day. So that's me. But I will also say, like, I'm not interested in Christian and Cope either, but clearly a lot of people are, and I think it's worked. I'm not going to pretend that it hasn't worked. You know, and people are really jazzed up about, you know, Cope and Cage against FTR against the Bucks. But that said, like, I think every single one of those people that's excited about that would be buying whatever pay-per-view that show is going to be on anyways. So I don't think it's actually bringing in new business for AEW. I think it is providing a platform for these guys to work and prove that they still got it, you know, but I also think it's at the detriment of the development of some of their other talent. Because when you go rewind back about a month and a half leading into Revolution, AEW was on a roll. Like, they're creative. Like, the TVs were great. That pay-per-view was pretty awesome. And if you look at it, it was mostly homegrown AEW talent. And then we get Jericho back. We get Cope and Cage back. We get Lashley back. We get Benjamin back. We get MVP back. all of a sudden you've got all these older guys at the top of the card, and those younger guys that were kind of pushing things, or not even necessarily younger, but AEW originals, they're not around. Omega, Swerve, Hangman, some of the other younger people that you're not even thinking of. And that's where, like, I think, I don't know if it's going to cause a problem in his locker room, because I think that, those talents really like working there and they're making really good money. And I don't think they care necessarily where they are on the card, you know, as long as they're getting paid and Tony doesn't cut them, and he's never going to cut anybody. So, but as a fan, it's hard for me to get invested in young talent in AEW when I know that, oh, they're just going to get surpassed by whatever guys WWE cut that Tony thinks is better than they are.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
And you know what? It's like the Yankees or, you know, the Lakers, you know, like they're just going to go out and sign whoever's available and, you know, and we'll figure it out when they get here.
Those are also two of the most popular teams in their sport.
They are
for that reason.
Right. And I don't
think the fans believe that those teams are always going to be in the mix for the best players.
And
so
it's
you always
weird,
have this idea.
And it's weird how now, like, WWE used to be the Yankees. And now they're like turning into, like, I don't know, like the Rays. Well, actually, the Yankees aren't even the Yankees anymore. The Yankees are more like the Rays used to be now. Dodgers are like, you know, AEW is the Dodgers. They're just going to sign whoever to pay whatever they want. And nothing wrong. He's got the best roster probably in the history of wrestling. And
we'll talk about TKO's Moneyball here in a second. Yeah. I want to give Joshua sent in a super chat.
Oh, yeah,
jet.
I saw
Thanks.
That.
Thanks, Joshua. So I think we all thought this on Raw, if you watch Raw.
Which I haven't.
Roman Reigns came out in the beginning of the show. He was very upset because he wanted to get a piece of Jacob Fatu. And Scrap Daddy said, you know, Jacob's not even here yet. And whose turn was it to speak? Well, it was Seth Rollins' turn. So they crossed paths at the beginning. So do you think we get Roman versus Seth at WrestleMania 43? I would say that is probably a match that they have written in pencil, knowing that this far out to even try and book something like that with all the injuries and all the changes and all the craziness that happens in WWE, that it's probably, you know, you can't really put that in pen yet. But we know that they wanted to do it this year. Right, that was one of the matches that they earmarked
for
this year.
Could that be the SummerSlam? They got two nights of stadium show that they got to sell, and you assume one of them is going to be Cody and Punk. This could be the other one.
Yeah, you could do it at SummerSlam, but I think the idea of these guys at WrestleMania is it just seems like more important to the match and to the fans.
Maybe it's the backup plan if they can't get Rock.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh yeah, because it's Saudi Arabia. Yeah. I almost forgot about that. I wonder if it being Saudi Arabia means that they would do it at SummerSlam or wait a year. Yeah.
Or it could be the backup in case they can't go to Saudi. Then, you know, then okay,
sure.
Then we're not going to get The Rock. Then we're going to do Roman and Seth, and we've already planted the seeds. And and you know, it'll be New Orleans or, you know, wherever they decide to go, whoever pays them.
Yeah,
the most.
I think Joshua, you putting that together, I think they wanted us to put that together from that segment on Raw.
Kind of like how last year they did something similar with Roman and Punk. I mean, you know, it's funny because all the changes that were made along the way, but if you go right back to a year ago, if you would have asked me the week after WrestleMania who's going to be the main event next year, I would say, oh, probably Roman and Punk. And it turns out it was Roman and Punk, but it sure took a long and winding road to get there.
It took a few different things to not happen for it to go through. Okay, so let's put a pin in this.
Yeah.
But you're telling me if you're Tony Khan, you think twice about bringing the New Day in.
Well, okay, so I think if I'm Tony Khan, I probably sign them. But I would be careful about how I push them. And the fact that I am signing them, I am very careful about who else I sign. Do I really want to bring in the Motor City Machine Guns if I'm also bringing in the New Day? You know, now I'm bringing in two tag teams that are in their, you know, in their late 40s or mid to late 40s. Am I bringing in a Jeff Cobb? You know, am I bringing in, you know, like some of these other names that got cut? You know, like I really got to think about it. Then again, you know, you also look at, you know, how long is Lashley and Benjamin going to be around? How long are Christian and Cope going to be around? Like, you know, those guys can't go forever either.
And they, Christian and Cope also do not work.
Correct.
Every single show.
And I would imagine a team like the New Day might be able to negotiate that kind of contract as well.
And a team like the Motor City Machine Guns may want to work more.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been utilized all that much.
Or they would maybe want to work, like I said, I think I brought this up last week, on kind of like a player coach kind of thing where, you know, you go to Ring of Honor, you occasionally wrestle in AEW, but you're at Ring of Honor and you're helping coach the young guys, maybe even with some sort of a management role in that company. Given the history that they have there,
I wouldn't be comfy in WWE with that player coach role. Like, I just, in WWE.
Oh,
like I know, because, you know, when Motor City Machine Guns did come over, the idea was, oh, you know, maybe they could help out at NXT at some point. And I'm like, that is all great in the thinking of how this thing works. But, you know, you have AJ Styles there, you know, wanting to do stuff like that. I worry about that, because If you're looking from, you know, this TKO perspective, and you're like, what are we paying this guy to do? And what is his job?
Yeah.
Like, how does this make any sort of sense? So that's kind of why I kind of hesitate on
you almost wonder if he would have been one of those names of people that were asked to take a pay cut, although he literally just signed his whatever deal he's on.
Yeah. So I think, if you sign New Day and you don't take advantage of the WWE crossover immediately and the surprise factor and the dream match aspect of it, I think it's kind of a waste. And I don't know that I would do it, because, you know, I would sign them thinking, okay, we got a program with the Young Bucks immediately if we want to do it, or we put them in something else and then build to the Young Bucks, because we know that there is a part of the audience that was really invested in the idea of that match several years ago.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people have brought this up, and you being one of them, of doing like some sort of a tag team invitational tournament. I know you like the Shad Khan Memorial going back to Crockett, but I mean, others have brought up Jay Briscoe, you know, and naming it after Jay Briscoe would be perfect.
Yeah.
And then you could announce this, but not announce any teams at first, giving people the idea that, oh, we're starting this tournament right after that 90-day thing is over. We may get some of these big name teams, you know, like the Motor City Machine Guns, like the New Day, or, you know, even like a Gacy and Loomis. Like, I don't know, you know, like, I don't think the AEW is going to bring it, but, you know, to be in this tournament, you know, like a one-shot deal, see how they do, see whether they get over, and, you know, you're not committing to anything, but, you know, just like, you know, they show up and you have like a 32 team tournament. You can definitely bring in some team that, you know, former, you know, you realize that I think there was at least four, possibly five different teams that have won the world tag team titles in WWE in the last year were cut in the last week.
Yeah.
It goes back to exactly what you were saying about, you know, the lack of importance.
Yeah. They don't really care about it. They don't think it draws, or they don't think it's there because it's historically been there.
Yeah.
But they don't think it's a difference maker. Well, you know what I just realized?
13 matches on Mania, neither tag team titles were defended. So,
yeah. I just realized that the one way that I'm like Tony Khan is that the way that I buy 4K DVDs is how he as how he signs talent.
Yeah. I know, I hear you all the time. I have that on DVD. I have that on. I've never watched it.
Because, you know, I'll just go to Amazon
and
I'll just be browsing something. And Amazon knows by now that I have this 4K DVD habit. And it'll be like, oh, you know, check out this Fight Club special edition. And I'm like, I've never even seen Fight Club, but I know I want to watch it. So I might as well just buy it on 4K. And I imagine Tony's like, just randomly doing some work, and you know, he's putting in some stuff into some spreadsheets, running some stuff through AI to make sure it's looking all good. Then he gets the notification on his phone. New day. Yeah. And he's like, huh. Adds a zero on the thing. It's like, yeah, we're good.
How much is it going to cost me to get that Feeling Good by Nina Simone? And I want that so bad. Yeah. It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
How awesome would that be?
Oh, it would work for their characters so perfectly. Well,
okay, would WWE sue them though?
No, because you're calling it a new dawn. But you're in the lyrics of the song. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. You can't sue them for that. And the song works for their presentation, depending on what they do. And he can use the name Kofi, and Xavier Austin Creed, which I think is actually a way better name, anyways. In fact, they could go by Kofi and Austin Creed. That could be their name, and it's almost like they're the Creeds, but they're not really the Creeds. You know, like kind of like Cody.
You wouldn't go Consequences.
I like Austin, but they've already got two Austins, Ace Austin and Austin.
Creed, just call him Creed. Just like Creed. Creed yeah. Yeah. Just call him Creed.
Consequences Creed is all right too. There's nothing wrong with Consequences Creed, but I like Austin Creed. It's simpler, cleaner.
Okay. The other person, you know, coming out of New Japan, Jeff Cobb was, I imagine, a hotter commodity than, you know, getting cut from WWE, Jeff Cobb. I can't be really unbiased in this one because I've been watching this dude forever and I like him a lot and I've hung out with him, you know, a handful of times. I just think he's just a great dude. But Jeff Cobb in AEW is an interesting one. I still think it's worth a shot if Jeff wants it.
That would be my question. Yeah.
He was completely fine living in Japan for all of those years and just wrestling in New Japan. So Jeff also has to want to work in AEW. And I know he's done stuff with them in the past. This last time when he was ready to go, it was clearly WWE. I don't know if AEW was in the negotiation or if they were close or whatever, but he chose WWE. So that is an interesting one. He's a little bit older than he was when he was last available. The WWE clearly did not see him as any big sort of deal whatsoever.
I don't know why they even signed him, to be honest. Like him and Black, like I, you know, and but him specifically, like why do you sign a guy like that and then use him the way you did? Like I don't, you know, people laugh. Tony fumbled. Hunter fumbled on this one. Like this was because the guy's good and he had some okay matches while he was there, you know, did the most with what he could, but most of the time he was sitting in the background with face paint on and, you know, the name was the name, like people didn't like it, but that was the least of the problems.
The other thing is it was kind of clear to me that they didn't think he could cut a promo.
Yeah.
Because he never got to talk.
Not once, I don't think. Maybe
and
like
I got a kick out of some of the small stuff that he did in the back, you know, because he was just the second to Solo, and Solo would talk, and all of a sudden you see Jeff like make a surprise face. Like he's got really good timing on that stuff. He's also like a pretty funny guy, but you know, he did some pretty decent New Japan promo work where they would cut, you know, the end of the show and they'd go to the back and you'd see the background and he'd have to cut some promos. I thought he did a pretty good job. But I didn't necessarily think he was a WWE style of promo.
He could have gone to AAA and probably got really over. Maybe even bring back like Matanza. I don't know if they were even allowed to, but like something like that, you know, or hint at that. Oh, hey, this is Matanza, even though we can't call him that.
Okay, so let's say Jeff is open to the idea. He's inspired. He's ready to go. He wants an AEW.
I'd definitely sign him 100% because he's different than everybody else they have, and he can go tag him up with somebody, or you know, give him a nice singles run. Him and Ciampa could tear it up. Him and Brody, you know, like, and he's a name that all their fans know, and he can also work New Japan and CMLL. So yeah, I mean, I think that'd be great for him if he wants to do it. And you know, and I guess the question would be, what value does Tony put on him, and is he better off there, or even just going back to New Japan? Like I imagine the ceiling in New Japan in terms of money is probably not that high, but you know, it may be higher than what Tony's willing to give him. I don't know.
And he was in the UE, wasn't he?
I believe so. Yes. Yes. Yes, he was. Yeah.
Cause they're kind of back being a big deal.
Yeah. And, or he could even come in and go against the Undisputed Empire, you know, like they could attack him because he left them, you know, kind of thing. And then he could be, you know, a baby face against them. So, you know, there's a few different ways they can go.
Yeah, I think it'd be, I would love to see him there. I would love to see him get a chance to actually work, because I've always been a fan. You know, I know he loves being like this fire hydrant powerhouse dude. I would love to see him lean out just a little bit, just because it can't be great to be that big on those legs, though his legs are giant. I'm mostly talking about the knees, because when I first saw him, this would have been like, it was probably the mid 2010s, maybe even a little bit before. I'm trying to think of when La Roca started.
Before or after Lucha Underground?
It was before.
So then you're talking probably 2012, 2013.
So Jeff would do the Brock Lesnar move off the top rope, the shooting star press. That he would literally do that in matches.
Well, he did that in New Japan rope a couple times. Like,
in, did he? As
I think
in,
so, yeah.
In as his big version of himself,
I can picture that in my head. So I'm pretty sure. Not often, but he would bust that out occasionally in the big matches. So, I think he may have done that against Okada at one point. But
yeah, so he's somebody who, you know, if you want to talk about somebody who, you know, like you just said, Triple H dropped the ball for Tony Khan to be able to gain value out of somebody that WWE didn't.
Yeah.
That just shows, you know, that does show a certain booking mentality or booking
chops. And
there's
probably some value there. Like, you can probably get him at a rate that, you know, like would be a bargain for his ability and name value.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted to make a little bit of I want to have a small conversation about what I think TKO is doing. And I wrote this a little bit in our Discord. I think WWE very highly values the top of their card. I think they are very willing to pay whatever top dollar is in wrestling to a very specific amount of people to lock them in. And then when you start going down, towards the middle, I think they see all of those middle as replaceable. And then you go down to the rookies and the NXT folks are only there to replace the middle on a fourth of the number, right? And I see... there's a fantasy football strategy in auctions, draft auctions, where the strategy is you go for all of the top guys, and then to fill in the depth of your roster, you just go on $1 flyer guys. And the idea is you'll have so many great players that you'll still be able to compete, even if some of those $1 guys, you know, are not valuable.
I have that strategy and I always die. Because at least two of my guys get hurt, and then I'm
that's the hard part about the stars and scrubs is what.
But I'm out of, like, by the 10th pick, I'm like out of money.
So if you think of WWE's roster as a stars versus scrubs, and scrubs is a pejorative thing.
It just means
someone who's like not highly paid. And you have this middle, which to me is the glut of the entire company, is just everybody in the middle. I would worry about those guys as far as what TKO has shown in who they value.
Yeah.
Some folks may go, well, Randy Orton really gets paid a lot of money. But there is a history of value and a current value in keeping Randy Orton alongside your roster, right? Like, imagine if they were like, well, you know who's long in the tooth and who's not great anymore? Randy Orton. And then all of a sudden Randy Orton shows up on AEW television as his own name, because that is his real name. And then all the value that you have in the history of Randy Orton kind of goes out the window. So I don't think guys like Orton, guys like Cody, Roman, I don't think they're messing with any of those guys because they know that those are the stars and the stars don't grow on trees. Because if they did, everybody in NXT would come up to the main roster and automatically become stars. And we know that that doesn't happen.
No, I mean, so you got happened with a few people, but, you know, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You know, so you got to keep those guys. And then at the same time, you got to hope that some of these low value guys and gals become stars. Because, and here's the other thing about it. If you think about how professional, and I do lean a lot in these comparisons to how pro sports works, but pro sports, and I'll give you an actual real historical analogy here. So 2012, was it 2012? Yeah, 2012 or 2013, sometime around there. Steph Curry hits his renewal. So he was a rookie and then his renewal came up and he had just come off several ankle injuries. So the Warriors come to the table. He comes to the table. Okay, 4 years, $40 million. So he was essentially making $10 million a year. And this is right before he's about to turn into Steph Curry. So because he signs this four-year, $40 million deal, he is the single most valuable player per dollar in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, in 2016, so this actually may have been 2013 now that I think of it. In 2016, the Warriors lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. Who becomes a free agent? None other than Kevin Durant. The Warriors can fit Kevin Durant's salary under the salary cap because Steph Curry is making $10 million a year and playing like somebody who is worth $50 million a year. So these young NXT wrestlers, as far as dollar per dollar value, someone like a Bron Breakker or someone like an Obafemi, they are more valuable on their contract than they ever will be unless they turn into Roman Reigns or Steph Curry
You've got a guy in San Jose right now that fits that bill. Macklin Celebrini. Contract is $975,000. It's barely above the league minimum. And he was fourth in the league in scoring this year. And it's through next year. So
the way to you buy into it, right? You're like, we have Mac for these 2 years at this very low amount. We sign as many people as possible. And we go for those 2 years, because when he then becomes a free agent, then he's going to be at the top of the food
chain. You're going to be paying him for the depth. You're going to be paying him $13, $14 million, lock him up for 8 years. And then you've got to cut some of those guys that you just signed. That's
the heat, the heat is on.
I'm glad you put that up because I was thinking this exactly. And honestly, as a fan of WWE, if I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, who do I want to see on my TV? Do I want to see The New Day, Aleister Black, Jeff Cobb, as much as I like Jeff Cobb, Motor City Machine Guns, or do I want to see Trick, Oba, you know, Ethan Page, who I really like, Javon, Ricky Saints, Joe Hendry, you can take or leave him. But, you know, but like, he's going to have that new car smell for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, all those names like are new. They're, you know, they're fresh. It makes the TV more fun. And, you know, as opposed to like pushing guys that have been around for 10 or 15 years. I remember, and you'll remember this too, I think, right after AEW started, it was a PLE or a TV show. Where WWE had a battle royal, it may have even been a Royal Rumble, and then AEW did a battle royal right around the same time, and there was comparisons made about the average age of the people in the two battle royals. And at the time, I think AEW was like 25 or 26, and WWE was like 41. and it was right around that time that Vince McMahon actually decided, we got to get younger. And that's where NXT 2.0 came in. and he cleaned house and he brought in a whole bunch of new people that were green as grass, and might be the last good thing he ever did, because it's proven dividends. And meanwhile, you fast forward 5 years, now AEW is the one who looks a little old, but the shows are great. So I don't think it's a problem right now, but I do think they need to start thinking about their future.
By the way, you didn't tell me that the Sharks got the second pick in the draft.
I did not know. And I don't know that who the second pick is going to be, because like this year is one of those ones where like the first, like with Max here, the first one is so far and away above everyone else, and the Leafs got him. They need to draft a defenseman is what they need. Like, I followed enough to know that. If they would have won last year, they would have made the playoffs this year for sure, because they would have got that guy the Islanders got, Matthew Schaefer.
All right. I didn't even mention Hidazon's comment. He basically said they're replacing the middle tier with Trick Oba, Ethan, Joe, Javon, Ricky. Those talent weren't making what New Day and others have been making.
Exactly. Yeah.
The thing about this thing, I think the thing about it that I would be really frustrated with, though I will say it all also happens in sports all the time, is when you just sign that contract and then, because in WWE there's no guarantees, right?
Yeah, you're and in the NFL,
when you see these contracts, it's like 7 years for $300 million. The number that you have to look at is not the overall number that is reported; it's the guaranteed money.
Yeah,
because once the guaranteed money is gone, then they want to renegotiate their contract. And on the team side, in some cases, they're like, no, we don't want to renegotiate your contract. The Niners just did this with Trent Williams. It's like every year it happens where he's like, okay, I'm out of guaranteed money. We need to redo my deal. And then they end up having to redo it because they can't replace this dude. So that would be the thing that, you know, is kind of frustrating is, you know, you're the New Day. You're in this negotiation. They're telling you everything you want to hear. We got all these great plans for you. We want to bring you back. We want to get you guys back on the top of the tag team division. Here's the money, and the money's great. And you're like, okay, let's shake hands and sign this contract. And they sign it. Nothing happens the way that they probably thought would happen.
They got the tag titles, but that, what does that mean?
Yeah, maybe they kind of knew. Those dudes are smart. They knew that, you know,
maybe they just figured
all the stuff that people say is not always the truth.
Hey, we like working here. We like the money. They're never going to.
Or maybe they're even smarter, thinking we'll get the big money for this year. We'll see what happens next year. And there's always AEW. Maybe that's the thought process.
Could be, yeah. And they probably, you know, they have friends there, so they know, hey, if you guys are ever available, there's a job here for you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's wrap this thing up by talking about Backlash, which is Saturday at 3 p.m. my time.
So 5 my time. Cool. So same time as WrestleMania. Interesting.
And if it's a three-hour show, it'll be done right around the time the UFC pay-per-view starts.
Nice. I can't imagine I'm going to be watching it on Saturday just because I still haven't watched. So the last show I watched was the SmackDown after Mania. That's how far behind I am. But yeah, the next show I'm going to watch tomorrow morning is Raw from last week. So I'm getting there.
All right. I forget what the ESPN matches are, but I think the first one is Seth Rollins and Brumbrum.
They're doing matches on ESPN again? I didn't know that.
ESPN 2.
Oh, yes. Cool. Okay. I didn't know that. So, sorry, was it Oba and who?
I think it's Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker is the opener.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So, it's the first hour. So, actually, this is actually kind of interesting because the show's about 3 hours and the whole entire... So, 33% of this show is going to be on ESPN. And then the rest of it will just be on.
So the opener is kind of almost like the second most important match on the show in some ways.
It kind of is, yeah, all the time.
So here because, you know, you're going to hook those viewers. And they, you know what? They must have liked the results they got with Mania if they're doing it again.
Mm-hmm. So Seth and Braun, you didn't watch Raw, but Braun basically beat the shit out of this dude.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to me. Twice. Yeah, so kind of knew that was coming, although I'm surprised it's coming this soon. But I think Braun has to win.
I think he has to win. But also, Seth is about the coldest he's felt in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's kind of similar to what they're doing with Ospreay and AEW, I guess.
There's intrigue in Austin. I mean, in Ospreay's storyline, whether or not you think that that intrigue is going to lead to business, at least there's like a story that is they're trying to tell that crosses over to two different companies with New Japan and AEW. Well,
maybe, you know what? Maybe you can have Logan Paul and Austin Theory carry Seth Rollins away after the match, and they can meet up in a dungeon somewhere and offer to train him.
Have Paul Heyman put the towel.
Yeah, Paul Heyman can put the chair on the floor and say, here, hit me with it. Brock Lesnar comes in and just curb stomps this dude.
you know what's the funniest thing about that Ospreay and Moxley storyline is they've just told the smallest piece of it, right? Like we're just at the beginning of whatever this is going to become. I've seen different, like a few different versions of where people think this is going. When I missed the Dynamite that the actual storyline was on, the beginning of this was on. So I was like, I kind of came into it and was like, what is this? And then I saw like a video package and I was like, okay, I kind of get it. And to me, it looked like a version of like Rocky versus Apollo and then Apollo training Rocky. Now, there's another movie, or there's a couple of other movies where there is this version of a story. One of them is Point Break with Patrick Swayze and Johnny Utah, played by Keanu Reeves. And Keanu Reeves goes undercover to befriend Patrick Swayze to then arrest him. Like that's that storyline. So people thinking like, yeah, Will is doing all of this to kind of figure out the ins and outs of the Death Riders, and then he's going to like use this information, you know, to beat John Moxley or whatever. So there's that version of the story. The other version of this story, I haven't heard anyone say this one specifically, but I was thinking because this movie is kind of based on Point Break, is The Fast and the Furious, where Vin Diesel's character Dom, he gets befriended by Brian the cop. They both love the racing aspect of it, but really Paul Walker is trying to infiltrate to figure out if Dom and his team are criminals. And in the end, he's like, they're criminals, but guess what? I love them. Even though I'm a cop, I'm joining the criminals because they're just more fun than being a cop. So there's a couple of different versions of this story. And that's the part where I'm kind of intrigued. I'm like, okay, what is John Moxley trying to do with this thing? Like, that's my intrigue, but it's a very meta thing for me, right? To try and figure out what Moxley is what pop culture thing Moxley is kind of copying to make a wrestling storyline. But
Jeff had a different theory, and it was something to do with like a movie trope where you have a hero that is looks like he's being seduced by the dark side, but he's not actually. And so I asked him, I said, are you talking about like Batman or even like Harvey Dent? And he's like, no, not that. And then I kind of lost track of what he was talking about. But I had just seen Dark Knight, and I was thinking, oh, so is maybe he's Harvey Dent, you know, like to where he tried to be good and it didn't work. So now he's going to join up with the bad guys.
My man got burned.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. Yeah. But
So do I think it's like this super compelling and like in, like, I think it's going to be cinema? I don't think that. But I think some AEW fans want it to be like this really sophisticated up and down storyline. And I think if it gets even halfway through, I think a lot of the fan base will enjoy it. I'm just more interested to see like, what is Moxley trying
to
do?
Well, at some point, Ospreay's going to wrestle again. And no matter what the storyline was leading into it, everyone's going to be excited about the match, and the match is going to be awesome. So, you know what?
If all that happens in this storyline is Will just stop selling the hell out of his neck every single goddamn time he takes a bump, I will be like, this is my favorite storyline of all time.
Yeah, kind of going back to like, remember everyone made fun of the fact that, William Regal taught the not the Death Riders, but whatever, Blackpool Combat Club, how to no sell a pile driver. It could be the same thing, with Will.
All them neck bridges.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You know who should have taught them but is not alive to teach them was Road Warrior Hawk.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
That dude never was phased.
Well, no, but now they just got it. You know what? That's who Ospreay needs. Can you just go to El Clone? Because El Clone sells a pile driver like hockey used to. Come
up. All right, backlash. So Rollins and Breaker, I think we both think Breaker is going to win. I'm just so interested in what Rollins is going to do here, because one of these guys is going up and up and up, and that is Braun. Seth is smart, so I don't think he's going to lose steam, but I also am not really into his character right now, so that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Trick Williams with a little Yachty against Sami Zayn. I will tell you, you having not watched all of the SmackDowns, I'm actually jealous of you because you don't have to see the gingerbread man die.
Oh, what? Well, television. I saw Sami as a gingerbread man turn on Trick and get booed. It's weird. But yeah, I am interested in this storyline just to see if. Because I think that what they're trying to do is like Bret Hart 1997 with Sammy, and I just don't know that it's going to work. So
I see that as well, and I think there are elements of that. I just don't think that they see Sammy even close to that light.
No,
as someone like Bret Hart,
he's just there to put Trick over. Yeah. You know, he'll get his licks in on a little Yachty, but. Little Yachty, like saying that.
You like Yachty? What do you think about Yachty's high pitched voice?
It's fine. I kind of like the act. Like it works for me. And I hope
Trick did cut the best promo.
Trick Yachty game.
When Sammy beat up this mannequin gingerbread man, which you haven't seen on SmackDown yet, they did a skit in the back where Trick came out of the fake emergency room, the trainer's room, and they finally gave him the thumbs down that the gingerbread man didn't make it. Trick cut the best promo of all time on the death of a fake mannequin character. It was
awesome.
It was incredible, but the storyline was idiotic.
So. Oh, well.
So, yeah, Trick's got to win again, right?
Of course, yeah.
I wonder if they give them a little bit more time. Or if they think that exposes Trick and they don't give them more time.
I mean, Trick can have good matches, so I don't think that's a problem, like, especially when he's in there with good workers. I've seen enough like really good Trick Williams matches to know. So I don't think that the reason he didn't get time at Mania was because they didn't have faith that he could have a good match. I think it was just they timed out the show and they only had whatever it was, 7 minutes. They wanted to get that out of there by, you know, like 6:30. So...
next match is the one I'm looking most forward to, which is Io Sky and Asuka.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I really wanted them to have that match on WrestleMania. I think we would have been disappointed because of the time problems on that show. So they better give them some time on this show.
Do we get Kyrie? Do we get Kyrie? Is it like an R-Truth thing?
I think they should, but I don't think it's going to mean Kyrie is back. I think they're going to be like, can you fill one more obligation so we can tie the loose ends of this thing?
Yeah, could be.
But I, you know, maybe they won't get 15. 15, maybe I may be a little too greedy there. Maybe 12, but oh man, I cannot wait for this match. The build, how long have they been building this match?
I mean, feels like a year. Like off and on. I mean, there was some tag team stuff in there, but I mean, it's hardcore for 3 months, like since the Royal Rumble.
Io's got to win here, right? Especially if Kyrie comes back.
Yeah. I mean, if Kyrie comes back, yeah. If not, then probably maybe Asuka wins and then we get another match.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Danhausen and TBA versus The Miz and Kit Wilson. We don't even have to predict the match. Who's going to be the TBA to Danhausen? Who's his tag team partner?
Evil. Very nice, very evil.
But so, okay, so he showed up on, he's going to be in NXT next week, right?
Evil?
I think so.
I don't know.
His new name. He's got a new name.
Oh, does he? I just heard he debuted. I didn't know anything. No, probably not evil. I'm trying to think of who, maybe Hobbs.
Hobbs would be a good one. There's a fantastic Hobbs and Jacob short meetup on SmackDown. That was my favorite thing.
Yeah, they've teased some stuff with them, and I could see them being a unit, which would be pretty freaking cool. But
you think Oba just comes out and tosses Kit Wilson 25 feet in the air?
That'd be cool too, you know. And then, you know, he could do the same thing to Danhausen, honestly, like or Danhausen could disappear before he gets his hands on or just do the poof and then he's still there. I don't know that people should get their hopes up that it's going to be anybody huge, but I think whoever it is probably means that it's somebody that WWE really likes, because obviously they're not losing.
I'm trying to think if anyone from NXT who they've been wanting to debut hasn't debuted yet.
Is there anybody left? I mean, Ricky Saints.
He made his debut last week.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, he was on SmackDown. And there's like,
because if you wanted to do the surprise aspect of it, who would it be?
Or is there anybody that has been gone that maybe would be ready to come back? The only one I could think of is Sheamus. Sheamus and Danhausen would be oddly
that'd actually be pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, like and
I think he's still hurt though. I think so.
Like somebody that could just completely mow through Miz and Wilson. I mean, that could be anybody really. What about that partner is, yeah, he's nowhere near being ready, eh?
The heat is Milton on.
Prince
is trolling me.
Oh, Jelly Roll. Oh, you know who it could be? Joe Hendry.
Who? It could be Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
He fits the
yeah
kind of what they're going for, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I could spin that off into a feud. Joe Hendry and The Miz. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then we have our main event. Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu has been amazing.
I've gotten so many messages from people that want Jacob Fatu to beat Roman, and I'm like, I can't help you. I mean, I'm not Paul.
I don't know if he's,
I don't think he's Paul.
I don't think he's gonna beat him, but the build has been pretty damn near perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's got people thinking. And then, you know, the adding in Roman taking June off.
Yeah,
that's got
people interested.
Yeah, maybe it was that simple. You know, like he put that in there just to kind of throw people off the scent. Like, I don't know. The thing that you got to remember is they still have a card in 2 weeks, like main event. So, you know, like Roman's still going to be around.
Saturday night main event is in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same weekend Double or Nothing. Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they're both in Florida too. I think one's in Orlando.
Is this a Peacock show?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh God, I was hoping to
YouTube
get rid of
Peacock. Here. Yeah, I could give you a VPN and you could watch it on YouTube.
I'm good without the VPN. I have to hold strong on
gotcha.
My word.
Gotcha. No problem. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't expect that card to be much.
So, I think Roman's winning.
Yeah.
Now, if there is something where Roman needs the time off and they'd rather just have Jacob as the champion, I would imagine the only way he wins is by so many shenanigans on top of shenanigans, because they're going to protect Roman.
Could it be a DQ where the Usos get involved? And
gosh, can you imagine people being so pissed off at a DQ, though, in the main event?
Yeah, but are they going to boycott WWE or are they just going to show up the next time? Pay for all the tickets again. Oh yeah, he does not. There's another PLE too, May 31st. So,
and Roman's going to be at that one, I think.
Yeah. So there you go. So he could lose it there, although I don't think he will.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing to me is I can't imagine Jacob wins, but then how do you keep him hot, right?
Yeah.
How do you keep him at the level that he's at? He's just doing tremendous work. Almost like I said the last show that we did, he's almost too good at promos right now. Like he's almost so not edgy enough for
he's
me.
So unique, like that's a thing, but it still works. So yeah. I hadn't seen. So I saw the one he did, two promos actually that he did on SmackDown, which you had probably just seen, and so I saw those yesterday, and yeah, I mean I get what you're saying now. Like he's just, and he's got that connection with the crowd that not a lot of people have. And I think he's got that thing where people are rooting for him. And
so at the end of Raw, he tried to put Roman through the table, but the table didn't break, and they just like flipped the table over on Roman. By the end of the show, there was a Fatu chant,
yeah,
which was pretty amazing.
Yeah, F around and try us, Fatu.
Because Roman was still over. It's not like they were booing.
Yeah,
Roman.
Yeah.
They were just like, okay,
it's
we like this.
Kind of like what they had with Owen Brock a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
I'm
kind
not
of thing.
Quite at that. At
no,
that
no,
anticipation
but
level, but like, yeah,
the same kind of thing. You know, where I think like, well, I didn't want to get off on that tangent, but they're both over, but fans are kind of really wanting the new guy, you know, and mm-hmm. So is Oban not on the card at all, or is he on an ESPN match?
He is not on the card as far as I can see.
So maybe that's why you had people thinking he was going to be Danhausen's partner.
Yeah, yeah. I think I would start this match hot and have Jacob get like a 2 3/4 pin attempt on Roman, like within like the first 90 seconds of this match.
That'd be interesting. And then you have Roman like, oh, whoa, look at this guy.
Yeah, and then Roman's got to step his game up to keep his title. Like, this is like shit on.
And then you have like a bunch, you know, they go for like 20 minutes. And then at the end, you have a bunch of like really good near falls. And then Roman just pulls it out, you know, at the end. Maybe even cheats. You know, you don't necessarily have to have run-ins or interference, but you could have him cheat. And then, you know, and then it's like Fatu is like, okay, we're playing this game? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I can get in there with you.
So we'll end with this question. Heat is on. I was wondering when Oba wins the title, when would you put it on him?
It depends which title. If he's going to beat Roman, then yeah, I would do it at Mania. But then that depends. What are you doing for Mania next year? So perhaps he wins Money in the Bank, and then you know, and then he just wins. I mean, you and I both don't like guys getting their first title that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could also see, you know, maybe he beats Cody for that title. And then, you know, and then Roman.
They could do the rematch from the Saturday night's main event match.
Yeah. And then you have Roman lose the title at some point before Mania. And then next year, you know, or whenever you get to Roman and Oba, it's actually Roman challenging Oba for a title.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what Oba is going to be like.
I think I would put money on Oba winning a world title before the end of this year. Like,
I had told, I don't know if I told Dave or LaRocca, but I was like, yeah, it is like, could you Bill Goldberg this guy and just like immediately have him?
I think it was Dave because I heard it.
Could he win a title in like 2 months? You know, like that kind of thing.
Well, if he does, it would probably be like, you know, U.S. title IC title.
So your Roman idea here, right, about what if they want to take the belt off him if he's taken off June?
Yeah.
What if it's Oba and Roman at Clash of the Champions?
Well, the fans want it. I know that. I mean, I was at Mania. I was actually walking on the bridge, and I could hear the fans chanting Oba during Roman's interview. It was pretty cool, actually, because you had people stopping on the bridge to watch it. It was actually a pretty cool visual, and it was still light out. And yeah. I think that their fans would really like that. If they went to Oba and Roman, because nobody's expecting it. So if you did that at like the Clash, my God, like those France crowds are super hot. So you can imagine like that place, they blow the roof off wherever they're wrestling. Or that's Italy, right? That's probably going to be crazy crowd as well, I would think. They've always been I used to watch there was an indie company that used to do shows in Italy, and I used to watch them.
Who's wrestling there?
One of the Samoans was like the champion. Bill Apter was involved with it somehow, and it was all like people that used to be in WWE mostly, but the champion was like this Samoan guy. I think he was related to them all, but he was a guy that never made it to WWE. For the life of me, I can't remember his name, but he had like a really good look and everything, and I was surprised that WWE never took him. But yeah, you're like David Heath and, you know, like all those guys that, you know, from like it was mid to late 2000s.
Was it Lance Anawai or
maybe, yeah, but he had a name like the Tahitian Prince or something. It wasn't that, but yeah, it might have been Lance. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back next week and probably have some thoughts on whatever happens at Backlash.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I'll know what happened.
And all
anyways.
That jazz. Yeah. And yeah, you just reminded me we're getting in close proximity to Double or Nothing.
Yeah, just a couple weeks out. By next week, we should have a pretty good idea what the card's going to be.
Yeah. So, all right, that's it from here. We'll be back next week. Thanks to all the folks in the chat, of course. As always, our guy Fernando, Heat is on. Lady B, there was a
Jonathan with the super chat. Or Joshua.
Joshua with the super chat. And there was somebody else. I can't find their name now. Oh, well. But appreciate all of you for hanging out and chit-chatting with us. So for Paul, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.